McNaughton.
Here.
Moblo.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Here. Here.
Here. Van Donlin.
Here.
Quorum present.
All right. Let's move on to consent agenda. Everybody's here, so the only thing would be the minutes from November meeting.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
I've got a motion for the minutes to be accepted as presented.
I second.
Carl seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. Don't have anyone here. Yvonne, reports officers, boards, and standing committees. Scott.
I'll get into this a little as we talk about the annual planning report, but the city commission did adopt the short-term rental ordinance.
Okay.
And we can talk about that more on the next, on that agenda item.
All right. We don't have any unfinished business. Let's get right into new business. The 2022 Boyne City Planning Report.
As required by the Michigan Annual Planning Act, the annual report is required to be completed. So this is that effort, and you may recall it's kind of the same format, the wrap-up of various projects and the things that we've done over the year. Just an update on a couple of things that are going on at Fox Run. They have a number of units on site, but still they're waiting for the connection to utilities before any of those can be occupied. They have all the roads with the first course pavement, so probably they're going to have to put this out the second course next summer here. And then hopefully they'll finally get the utility question figured out. The Jervis Webb, the Kuko plant is complete and they're transitioning into that building. The old facility has been sold to Royal Logistics and it looks like they have space that's leasable for storage and offices there. They did have a grand opening in October and I don't know how many of you maybe had an opportunity to look at that building, but it's very impressive. The 411 Northeast Street that you may recall as the old school building was completed and now occupied. If you may recall, there was the intention to have the alley act as primary access. Over concerns raised by the neighbors and by the owner about possible congestion, they did put a driveway out to East Street there on the north side. Given the costs were such much higher than anticipated, supply chain, all that stuff, they decided not to build that parking garage in the backyard. They may have a future date, but right now they just we're leaving it as it is.
Now, Scott, did they turn that into short-term rentals, correct?
That's, I think their anticipated use is to have some of those be used as short-term.
Yeah, I thought it was all short-term.
I think it's all short-term.
I think it's all short-term rentals.
Right, I think they're going to get licenses for all of them, but the owner indicated that he does use it as well. So.
Yeah, Sally and I have looked at those places, and they're absolutely spectacular.
He offered a tour back in April for city staff, and we went through there,
He did an amazing job, and they're looking for $25 and $600 a night for those properties.
How much?
$25 and $600 a night.
Woo!
Beyond my pay grade.
We did have a few development plan reviews last year. You may recall the Great Lakes Energy, the addition, the amendment of their plans. They had that service drive between the two parking lots. concrete. Plan was approved. The owners, upon further inspection of the interiors, were getting some things that weren't anticipated. I think that they may change their plans about that. They may not put the second story on the one as they were anticipating. So they're kind of holding off on that right now, and I anticipate probably, you know, or later this year they'll come back to it and see what they can do. The old Masonic at 220 North Lake, they seen that Genesis Church is actively moving on renovating that and bringing up. They did get their facade approved by the design committee, and they got a sign permit the other day for their construction sign that kind of shows the completed on the sign. So expect that to be moving forward and probably be completed probably sometime this year. Then 100 North Lake Street, the Lost on Lake project, you know, they're still struggling with coming up with a gap to fund the project, but they do now have their zoning permit, so they won't have to worry about their site plan being expired. That's the reason they had to come back before. So hopefully they can find a way, find the funding to make that project move, but right now I haven't heard of anything that's going to be able to do that. Bay Ridge Private Road, and you recall that ordinance was amended to allow for the more narrow pavement. They are looking at construction of the road this summer, spring, summer. Talk to the paving contractor, he's getting specs out for that, so I expect that to be moving forward. A couple of administrative reviews for some smaller projects. Persistent Edge added some additional parking out there at their site. The one primary concern is the stormwater drainage on that. Calculations were done, and they did have adequate retention on site to accommodate the additional. And then 302 South Park is owned by Kirkby as well. And there was a little garage there. They tore that down and they're going to create another accessory unit there. That's in the central business district, so that's kind of under the multi-family housing aspects of that ordinance. So looks like they're moving right along to that project. As I mentioned, the, you know, short-term rentals was big effort over this past year. The city commission determined to establish, you know, them as the working committee for that, which I think was a wise choice. The system, the process, in my mind, worked extremely well. Folks had all the opportunity to get input. The commission went through it methodically and deliberately, and I believe they came up with an ordinance that met their needs and will fit the community well. That ordinance was adopted on December 13th and then became effective on December 28th. Working with Granicus, they have a system where they'll do mass mailing, and that's anticipated probably later next week. Basically informing everybody that's been identified to have a rental that the ordinance has been adopted and what the licensing process is, and let them know how to go through that. So these next couple of months, we'll be working with you know, all these owners to get them licensed, and probably before March, I think, and we'll hopefully have everybody done, or the majority done. As you may recall, that ordinance had a ability for the city commission to establish a cap in the traditional residential district. The commission discussed that issue when they adopted the ordinance, but determined that they needed some additional information in regards to establishing that. And I anticipate in February they'll bring this back on their agenda and review that again and see if they determine that cap should be established at this point.
Scott, is there inspecting these?
The ordinance that was adopted did not require inspections. The city commission determined that was a level of, that we didn't need. So the, there's an affidavit on the application that will certify a number of things that we sense.
Okay, so a self-certification?
Basically, yes. So we'll work with that system, and I, you know, a lot of other communities do that as well, and I haven't, you know, seen any issues that I think that inspections should be required, so I, you know, I think it would work.
And what about the number of renters per se in terms of, is that going to be self?
The occupancy?
Yes.
You know, well, the ordinance does require, and that has a maximum occupancy, and you know, you have to verify how many people, you know, can stay in your home.
But that's self-certified.
But, you know, that's something that would be enforced if there was an issue. You know, if we have a complaint and we realize there's 30 people in a two-bedroom house, then we have the ability to say you got too many folks here.
Okay.
But, you know, if there's 11 people in a 10-person house, we're not going to come knocking on doors and say, you know, you got to get that person out. So it's basically a backstop that gives us the ability to address a problem.
Scott, the additional information that the city commission has requested, does that lead you to think that there would be a cap established, or just let it to the market to decide?
I think there are strong opinions on each side on the commission, so I really don't know.
Okay.
In your feeling, do you feel that there will be room for growth over and above the amount of, like, you've established a certain amount of people already have short-term rentals in this district.
Right.
Do you anticipate that the cap, if there is a cap, would be higher than the number they have now?
Again, I think there's strong opinions on both sides of this issue. The city commission, I can't really tell which way they would go. But in my opinion, if a cap is set, I think it would be advisable to set it at a high enough number that all those that had, or maybe a little additional growth, so you could have that.
Okay.
And then if a lower number is sought, establish that cap, and then through attrition, you know, lower that number. So if a couple people no longer do it the next year, you can lower that cap down.
Well, so, just because the cap is higher doesn't mean we have to reach the cap. I mean, if we set it at 10% or 15% of the available residences and only 7% apply for a thing, doesn't mean we have to lower the number.
Right, right. But what I'm saying, if the commission says they set it at 100, just use a random number, and but their goal is to have 70.
Right.
So if they hit that 100, okay, you reached your cap, and then after a couple of years, a couple drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, okay, the cap this year is 98. Mm-hmm. So you just kind of, you can ratchet
it down. Yeah, okay.
So if that's their strategy, I'm just looking at it the way I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect, Monica, I certainly hope we would never reach 10% of the, or 15% of the homes, especially in the traditional residential
district. Well, I was just reading some of the information regarding what the state would do if the state got involved.
Right.
And I think it was in the 10 to 15% range.
Well, you were talking 30.
They were talking 30%.
Yeah. And, you know, we're a long ways from that. I hope we remain a long ways from that. But it would seem like we could logically allow for a small increase above what we have now.
And that, to me, that's a philosophy, and it's going to be based on the individual personality of the commission.
Mm-hmm.
What they think is too many or too few. So.
Okay. And then, I haven't read through it yet, but what was the punishment for not getting a license and just continuing?
It's a civil infraction, and there's a fine schedule, so first offense. $100, second is $150, third is like $250, and each day is an offense. So, you know, fines could ratchet up pretty quickly if you continue to operate without a license.
All right.
Each day is an event.
That's good.
That is good. I'm not going, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, each unit will require a license.
Scott, if I remember right, how many did we have in TRD? Was it 87?
89.
89. Oh, I can't. I can look.
One more page.
So, Hugh made a motion at 105, and it was not passed. If that helps you, Monica.
Okay.
It was a 2-2 vote with George abstaining because he owns a...
Because he owns one, yeah, that makes sense.
The commission was asking for more information from other communities so that they could look at what sort of caps that they put in.
I think they were looking more specifically like their residential district. Yeah. Charlevoix is kind of like us where they have a specific district. And the condominiums aren't, you know, they're regulated but not capped. East Jordan has a similar kind of thing where they have a lakefront district that's not capped, but their residential district is capped. Mm-hmm. Harbor Springs, I think, is going to go that way. They had no cap on the entire town, and they just set a moratorium in place to look at that. So I'll be, you know, providing that information the best I can to the commission to see if they can, you know, make some determination.
Charlevoix cap in the residential areas, I think I've heard 35.
Eight.
It's eight.
Yeah.
Where is this in Charlevoix?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And the TRD doesn't affect the lakefront properties.
Correct.
No.
So, I mean, we can have a ton of lakefront properties. Like, I have several in my neighborhood that are lakefront properties that I know are used as short-term rentals at certain periods, and those would not be affected by the cap at all.
Right. They're, and we've really seen no growth. I mean, like I kind of explained in the memo, it was right around 12, 13 for a whole year. I didn't, you know, the only appreciable growth that we've seen was in the TRD district. And that was the logic for, you know, okay, that's going to keep on growing like this. We do need to, you know, limit that somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes too much sense to put it in the waterfront district, especially in the condos.
Yeah. And, well, and the other, you know, you may recall the whole impetus to this was housing, and that's one of the objectives on the goals for housing, was to determine how short-term rentals affect housing availability. Mm-hmm. And with this information, we realized that, you know, there is a number and it is growing. So when you're looking at, you know, workforce housing, affordable housing, you know, that is the district that we're most concerned with. And so that would make most sense to limit it there. So the commission set the fee, so the license structure is the initial license is valid for the remainder of the year that it's obtained, and then two additional calendar years, and then each fall, current license holders would have the opportunity to add additional year to that license term, so you kind of keep that kind of three-year window rolling. And that was done in response to a concern from some of the owners that they make reservations 2 and 3 years out. So they wanted to have that assured that they had that availability of the license so they could make those reservations. So that's the way that was done that way. The master plan review, recall, there was a recommendation of this commission to do an update, so I anticipate approaching the city commission during the budget time to request some funds to see if we can do that.
That's going to be in February, correct? Is that the budget making?
February to March. And then, yeah, so we meet with the commission usually in March sometime. year. They contacted me a couple weeks ago and indicated they want to set up that return visit. It looks like probably February or March they'll be coming back, and they indicated they have some, will be presenting some recommendations. So I haven't seen anything. I asked them to give them to me as soon as they could so I can share them with you for that review and discussion. GIS did all the support, the planning department supports everybody in our GIS activities. I think we have a pretty robust system. The city commission just awarded a contract to C2AE to further develop our system with the water assessment and mapping, and that is being done through a grant from the state. So that project's going to happen this year, and that will give us much better information on our water system, and so it's kind of the last piece of the puzzle. It was from the SAW grant, we were able to do that, and identify and assess all of the stormwater system and sanitary systems. So now when we do the water system, we'll have all the cities as a population.
Yeah, would that one then include, I guess, both the Harbridge and Harbridge Park, and I'm not sure what other developments actually own their own water systems within the complexes themselves?
Any system that's connected to the city system is going to be inventoried and assessed. They're explaining it at the city commission meeting that they have to do an assessment in regards to lead connections, so they have to physically dig up percentage of so many connections, just to do kind of a statistical analysis of how many there are in the city, and you know, affect the plan. Okay, how can we improve all these things? So that's going to be part of it. Where those are selected, I don't know. It's probably going to be some kind of random assessment that's done. But if it is connected to the city system, then they are going to at least inventory.
So what different water components are they looking at besides the lead connections? Are they looking at the car water?
No, more than just the system itself and the physical infrastructure.
Make sure there's no lead pipes in there.
Right, that's
the big distribution
check. There is a lot of grants that we facilitate for the city, and also and as I'm reaching for other agencies, like the Field of Dreams, the city has applied county rec grants for a couple of grants for them. The new Spark grant that's run through the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. Application for the skate park was submitted for them. They should be hearing sometime this month whether they're successful. And then we continue to work for open space grants and other grants that help fund city projects. The boards and commissions, Jim was nice enough to point out that I forgot to update the city commission or planning commission membership here. So
I was wondering where Carl was.
I will correct that.
Kind of forgettable, but
no. And you may recall Patrick Kilkenny left us earlier last year, and he was replaced with Bonnie Shantona.
Just quick, back for the CPA, actually, I did want to point out that there are three vacancies on the ZBA. Pat Kubish had to step down for health reasons.
He just passed away.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Should have passed away earlier this morning. Pat was on the ZBA for my battery died.
Oh, since.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you got to plug it in.
Yeah, and then Roger moved to California. So I guess my reason for mentioning that is that if anyone thinks of anyone that could be interested in doing it, the ZBA is a nice board to be on because it doesn't convene very often.
Are you in now? Are you
No, I'm an alternate on the ZBA. I'm kind of there helping out, making sure that when they need another body, another person there. But if you know of anybody that's interested in doing something that's not, I mean, it's not a lot of commitment, but it's definitely something to be tied into the city. And it'd be good if you just pass that along, because three vacancies means that there's no quorum. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention about Pat that, you know, he was on the ZBA when I got here almost 20 years ago. And I think he was on there long before that. And I go back to minutes on the Planning Advisory Committee that used to work for the city. And I see his name there. So he's been involved with the city for a long time.
You were just saying about staff, I apologize.
Oh, okay, yeah. Bonnie Shantona took over for Patrick Kilkenny and Nicole, and he's been doing a great job. So we're really happy to have her on board. The training, Northwest Michigan Housing Summit, they had that in person this year, we looked at that. That was mostly an update on kind of legislative initiatives that have been going on. Went to the planning conference again, the first time that's happened in a couple of years. A lot of good programs there that me and Bonnie both attended. The RRC training continues to be available. Just check on their website and you can register for those. That's free to any planning commission member. We continue to work with our township partners of Banjoin and Wilson Township. We have great relationships with them. Again, this has been going on since I've been here and was in existence prior to that. To have a community cooperation like this is really an example of I think, some really good people in each of these municipalities that recognize it. Permits were up this year. A lot of that was new dwellings that were part of the Fox Mountain development. The value is about the same as last year. And then that should read 2022 enforcement activity. So that's the log of all those previous activities. So with that, that is the 2022 planning report. No, this is the annual.
All right, does anyone have any questions that we didn't talk about?
No.
All right, let's move on to the staff report.
As I mentioned, Leah is anticipating coming back to the planning commission either February or March.
Mm-hmm.
And the Housing North will be holding a webinar on the 19th of this month at 2 o'clock. It's free to register. They're going to be kind of going over their housing ready checklist and also reviewing a couple of the bills that were just recently signed. The one on the enterprise zones, neighborhood enterprise zones. I guess it's kind of along the same logic as a commercial enterprise zones that they now have, but now for residential areas, and also pilots. So if anyone's interested in that, I'll send out the registration information to everybody tomorrow. So if you got some time on Thursday, feel free to attend it. And then I had a conversation with Mary Riley from MSU Extension. She's kind of their training person for Northern Michigan and does the citizen planner training and is looking at possibly having it done here in Boynton City. So it could be in the fall, it could be in the spring, she doesn't know yet. So if that does happen, I'll let her be known and maybe an opportunity to attend some training locally.
for this kind of project can be kind of expensive. Hopefully there's some funding available through RRC. I spoke with our coordinator a while back about it and said there was a possibility. So, you know, that's something we'll definitely.
Is that something that's in the budget for the city that the city commission would be approving?
That's something that I'm going to have a discussion with the city commission when I submit my budget to them.
Okay.
And that's hopefully they'll recognize the importance of having this updated and you know, dedicate the funds to do that.
Anything?
Anything else, Scott?
No, that's all I got.
All right. Well, on to the good of the order. Everyone survive?
It's been an awkward winter.
Yeah.
All winter.
You found winter somewhere.
It's been an awkward,
like 3 days of it in November.
Awkward something.
Or December, Christmas. Right at Christmas, yeah.
I think we're all in blah mode.
Yeah, for sure.
Coming out of COVID, going in the winter, and here we are.
In the gray. And no sunshine. Yeah,
in the gray. Past 2 days, though, sun came out a couple times.
All right, let's move on to any motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, there were about 4 or 5 seconds. So Nicole gets that
one. Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank see you guys. We'll be back here February 20th, 2023.
What time is it, Tom?
It is 6:02.
Thank you. That was quick.
Yeah, you picked a good one.
Yeah, I'm lucky.
City Commission, it's 11:30.
I saw that. I watched part of it.
It's a little tricky because they call the conservation board and report direct. You have to vote the exact same.
Minimum 2 hours. They start at 7.
Oh, my goodness. That's why being the alternate kind of
meetings. It's another meeting. Actually, it's 3 to 4 hour meetings, so you're not getting up until midnight.
Perfect for you. You're young.
Not at a feast of purpose.
Not anymore.
Well, you're sitting in
the I don't want to stay up late.
Right.
It was a really weird.
I saw you and your wife walking yesterday down Front Street.
People were never
denied.
Yeah.
Do you live on Front Street?
Do you live on Front Street?
We live on Front Street.